trouble today, so if you pay attention, we'll go over the safety precautions we hope you don't have to use.
Now that we have your attention.
Yes.
Now that you're paying attention.
We have an airline in Canada that actually does the...
Really?
Yeah.
Westjet.
The captain's noticed a strange rattle in the cockpit today. We don't know if it's the hydraulics or the steering column.
They do get entertaining with their little speeches.
Then that gets your attention. That's a safety feature.
Yeah.
Okay, we go?
Go. Now wait now. Do we want to read back anything from last night or just start at 100?
What section are you in?
100.
Just start on 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eternal
Religion, Part 2, Dash 53.
Passage 100.
Okay. Okay, we're rolling today. This is the start of August the 1st, 2016. Emergent Life, Book, page 15. Eternal Religion, Part 2, page 17. That's for the recording. Number 100. You, and living your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, enhance or inhibit the anti-aging enzymes in your body, as does living your desires and experiences. What was that? You, and living your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions, enhance or inhibit the anti-aging enzymes in your body, as does living your desires and experiences. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, okay. All right. The constituents you choose and live to emergent as eternal resplendent self are important enhancers or inhibitors of your body's anti-aging enzymes. As a self-replicating particle replicates particles or replicate the original particle, you as a self-replicating particle can access, through entanglement guided by your body's DNA, your body's ancestors, and replicate the ancestors you truly desire to replicate you today, which enhances or inhibits yourself and body today and through the ages. This is being born again.
So how do we do that?
Well, apparently, living your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions enhance, I'll leave out the inhibit, the anti-aging enzymes in your body, as does living your beliefs, desires, and experiences. Your desires and experiences.
It's in working.
That's
you don't
how.
Do it.
Yeah, it's like if you do it to enhance your or the body's stimulate the body's anti-aging enzymes, then you're not doing what it's talking about here, which is
you're trying to living your aging.
Yeah, you need to live your desires and experiences.
No, it's not what it says.
No, go ahead.
In living your desires and experiences,
yes.
It assumes that your desires and experiences are all fucked up. Because they're based on ancient teaching.
Okay, so...
But if we live our declaration, then...
So it's I misunderstood the sentence, and it said, and living your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions enhance or inhibit the anti-aging enzymes, as does living your desires and experiences.
But don't assume that it enhances them. Because it can be just as an inhibitor.
Oh, I see. I read over the could in... Okay, so living your beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions inhibit the anti-aging, as does living your beliefs and experiences. I see what you're saying.
So would it be true to say affects the anti-aging? So... Either positively or negatively, your beliefs, thoughts, attitude, more.
See, I made the mistake of assuming living your desires and experiences is a desirable thing.
That's right.
That's what I wanted to read it that
your
way.
Your desires may not be desirable at all.
But I wanted to read it that way, that they are desirable, but yeah.
That's what we're working on.
Right, yeah.
You don't know that they're desirable.
You don't know desirable. That is so important. I'm glad you commented on that because I would have never caught it. I'd have read right over it.
You already did.
Twice. And I don't have to get back to you on that one. I realize that.
Good.
See, that's why we need your commentary here, Roger. The little extras.
Well,
it's good
stuff. Anybody should have caught. Because you didn't read it right.
Yep, that's right. Interview with the was there. I read what I wanted to read.
That's right.
Thank you, Dad. What part did you read on?
That living your desires can inhibit. I looked at them as living your desires can enhance or inhibit is what it says. Yeah. I followed the enhance. Oh, yeah, living your desires can enhance
that.
Well,
you said, well, the second time you read it, you said I'll leave out the inhibit.
That's right, yeah.
So I never left out the enhance part to see what else it said. I was excited about that one. Okay. Whatever. Good point.
Gotta watch out when Andrew's excited.
Hey, that's neat. The constituents you choose and live to emergent as eternal resplendent self are important enhancers or inhibitors of your body's anti-aging enzymes. Okay. As a self-replicating particle replicates particles that replicate the original particle, you as a self-replicating particle can access through entanglement, guided by your body's DNA, your body's ancestors, and replicate the ancestors you truly desire to replicate you today, which enhances or inhibits yourself and life today and through the ages.
Self and body today.
Self and body today and through the ages. This is being born again.
Andrew, can you read a little slower, please?
I should. Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I hardly can follow.
Understood.
He's still in the same paragraph reading it over.
I know.
Okay. That's probably why I was reading it faster, because I'd already read it. Okay, 101. You can create and live any past you truly desire to be today, so choose wisely. I'm just trying to pass this around a little because I'm taking a note. Okay. 102. Replacing beginnings and endings in your mind.
Wait.
Yes, thank you.
I have a question about the past. Is that just in terms of a DNA past, or is that a past life, or is that a past you create? Is there more about that we can expand on?
I would have said yes.
To all of that?
Yeah.
And the memory of the past.
That it's, yeah, even when you create a past you desire. But again, as Roger said a few minutes ago, that if there's any hint of you're creating it to overcome something, then you're inhibiting probably your enzymes. I desire to be free of this limitation. Guess what?
I desire not to age.
Mm-hmm.
What was your question?
So was it creating through imagination a past?
I don't think so, yeah.
Past is the past. I guess you can recreate past, huh?
A lot of people, that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Over and over and over.
That's basically all everybody does.
Yes. Sorry.
Well, as I understand it, I'm sure Roger will correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, you imagine or create a past for yourself. It may not at all match with historical recorded history, but you live that past, and your living of it, the universe reacts and then makes it real in the universe for you. Not that other people will go and dig up, you know, in the sands of the desert your past, but you're living it, the universe reacts whatever you're living.
It's just like you take two siblings that grew up in the same household with the same experiences and everything else, and they will have totally different stories of the past of that household.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, moving right along.
Okay. 102, replacing beginnings and endings in your mind and life and language with recurring anew will also add DNA to the chromosomes of dividing body cells, so they perform and age well. Sorry, I gotta read that again. replacing beginnings and endings in your mind and life and language with recurring anew will also add DNA to the chromosomes of dividing body cells. Really? So they perform and age well. Recurring will enable you to realize continuing and realize it for your eternal self in your life today. Wouldn't that be grand? How does that add DNA to the chromosomes?
Well, what does it mean, replacing beginnings and endings?
Take the word for it.
Just take the word for it. Okay.
We talked about last night.
Extenders.
Yeah.
The telomeres? Telomeres. Telomeres. Oh, okay.
Ooh, do you mean replacing beginnings and endings with different beginnings and endings?
Just in your mind, the whole concept of your mind, language, and life working that way.
Of recurring anew rather than beginnings and endings. Is that
correct?
What you're saying? Okay.
Okay.
Your body constructed by mind, of mind, constantly stressed and damaged by your reactions to your own thinking. Wait a minute. Your body constructed by mind, of mind, constantly stressed and damaged by your reactions to your own thinking, but it can be soothed and frequently relieved of undesirable symptoms, but can only be repaired by eternal minding. Unfortunately, however, what appeals to your body's feelings gets your attention far quicker intensity and continuously than what appeals to your eternal minding and awareness. But when your feelings subside and fade away, what appeals to your mind? Your mindful experiences and expressions will remain to nourish and support you and become you. Are you willing to exchange temporary feelings for enduring mindful awarenesses? Man, that's pretty cool.
That last part went in there.
Anybody else want to read for a second? I mean, I'll pass it back and forth. Just if I want to take a note, you don't have to wait for it.
You want a highlighter?
I got several. One for every color.
Exchange temporary feelings for enduring mindful awarenesses. Since how you feel about your pains, problems, and afflictions outpictures and clearly reveals your discontent, healing or relieving your symptoms and outpicturings or those revelations will do nothing for the discontent in yourself in life today. And without ending your discontent, any relief of your symptoms will be short-lived.
My book doesn't read like that.
It says embody.
Huh?
Mine says something different too.
Yeah, you're on 104, huh?
Yeah. What's yours say?
Since how you feel about your pains, problems, and afflictions outpictures and clearly reveals your discontent, healing or relieving your symptoms and outpicturing, or these revelations will do nothing for the discontent in yourself and life and body. Is that the same as yours?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, no?
Yeah. That's what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't be different from Mark.
Okay.
104?
Yeah.
I heard at least one word that was different. What he said.
Yeah, I think Jennifer just said today.
I thought you were substituting a word that, you know, like we substitute God into turtle meaning. I thought you were substituting a word for a while, but then I found out pictures. So that wasn't it.
Out pictures.
Oh. Okay.
During the 1850s, a doctor in New England realized that simple medical remedies were just as effective for his patients as expensive medical expensive cures and medicines. From this, he surmised that it was not just his treatments that were effective, but added to that was the patient's trust and confidence in the doctor and his treatments that provided genuine relief and even cures. Today, visualizations, affirmations, and directed meditations are frequently used to supplement or effectuate healings, and these practices form the basis of faith healing and other alternative treatments. But there is a significant problem in this process, in that the person who meditates, visualizes, trusts, or believes, and has faith, or has confidence in the doctor or healer and his remedies, is the same person who created the illness or affliction in the first place. If your confidence is placed in the hands of a god or a healer in faith, or in the treatments and medications prescribed, then the self which seems to be involved in creating and sustaining the pain or illness is left free and unencumbered to continue unabated in expanding and extending your afflictions. Every pain and illness has many causes, most of which your physician and healer is unaware of. Actually, many centuries ago, Aristotle declared that anything necessary for another thing to exist is the cause of that thing. He explained that since marble is necessary for marble statues to exist, it is obvious that marble causes marble statues. For without marble, marble statues could not exist. And of course, the sculptor and his chisel and mallet also cause marble statues. If, like a sculptor's assistant, a self is involved in creating and maintaining your body's disorders and ailments, then while destroying other causes and leaving that self alive and well may bring some relief, that relief will not last for very long, simply because that illness-causing self is still quite well and active. It is appropriate to declare that you cannot cure an illness at the level of the illness. The best you can do is temporarily relieve the symptoms of an illness. To effect a cure, you must change everything, for there are no little changes. If you cannot or will not change everything, you cannot change anything. To truly heal, not merely relieve or ease symptoms, you must change something that genuinely changes everything. And if you are willing to accept that you are the self that creates pains, problems, and afflictions in your body, then to heal your illnesses and difficulties, you must change your beliefs about yourself and life such that everything changes. Is it possible that your concerns about death and your desire to continue without knowing anything about your eternal abiding self causes your pains, problems, and afflictions? Unfortunately, you tend to seek within for your eternal self, just as you've been told to do. Though actually, you live in an environment of your emergent eternal self all around, for you to particularize and personalize as you desire, but which you have neglected. In the same way that Aristotle's marble causes marble statues merely by existing, your eternal self causes your afflictions by merely existing, simply because you want to continue in life as an eternal somebody. But only knowing yourself as a mortal personal being, you are unwilling to obligate yourself to God or oneness, or even relinquish yourself to become an unknown spiritual being or undefined eternal self. You want to continue as a personal being or as a particular eternal being. Isn't that true?
You might think that's odd. I didn't expect that. The eternal self causes your afflictions merely by existing, simply because you want to continue as an eternal somebody. I never thought of that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
didn't
really think that that's true. Well, that's,
you what?
I didn't really think that that was true. That isn't that true at the end. Yes. A particular eternal being.
And don't we end up, if it's a particular, we end up trying to cause it.
Or maintain it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's somehow or other we're struggling with it. For it or against it. Or,
changing it.
Yeah, I want to change who I am. What am I? How am I going to
talk loud so Roger can hear? Okay.
We're talking about this part towards the end that says, or as a particular eternal being. If I try to make be particular about an eternal being I want to live, I'm will simply end up struggling to overcome what I think I am already. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, wow. I didn't really pick that one up. I was still thinking on the other one, so earlier.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Okay. The chapter is just packed with interesting, important stuff.
You sense a spiritual or eternal nature without knowing or being aware of what that is, or even realizing anything about that aspect of yourself. However, as we said before, what you are most eager to attain, but have no real knowledge of, is living the eternal self and life you truly desire without discontenting yourself and without interference.
Question. Roger, what do you mean in that last thing, and without interference?
I'll have to read it. What number is it?
114.
On page 56, so you're two pages more.
104, or how'd you get up to 14 already?
Because you were sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Time changed for you.
Okay, what are you asking?
I'm asking, what are you referring to with the words and without interference?
I'm guessing it's about the universe not interfering.
Yeah, or someone else.
You don't think you interfere with living the life you truly desire?
So that's what you're referring to, that you're saying is living, that...
Self-interference.
Yeah, that's self-interference, discontenting myself and interfering with myself is what you're referring to. Mm. Okay, got it.
You are a personal being. Oh, you as a personal being are what you do. While you as an eternal being is how you are, or what it is really like being you. As a personal being, you live and constantly struggle with and against a tremendous variety and intensity of your body's feelings, which are hardwired in your brain. While eternal beings are not discontent in any such feeling or condition. It is not knowing and experiencing your eternal self as real and not living as an eternal being in your life today in everything you do that causes your stress, sadness, illness, and disappointment, which outpicture as afflictions in your body and life. Unfortunately, your body's feelings and emotions get your attention much quicker and more loudly than your eternal self, such that you have become addicted to your loner self. Loner self is feelings.
Which one are you reading?
The big type in 116.
Yeah, the big
one. I think there's a typo.
a typo after Lona self.
Should be
waiting for Roger to catch
it. Should be so plural self feeling the same. Take out the I. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, possessive.
Should be apostrophe, yeah. Loner self's feelings. Apostrophe, yes.
Can I ask what, I mean, I kind of get it why causes is in quotation marks. And I kind of want to... Yeah.
Right here. I know they're two correct words, loner, but if you read it, become addicted to your loner self is. Should it be loner self? That should be an I, should be an apostrophe, right? Loner self's feelings and?
I think another reason why we're really addicted to the loner self body situation feelings is because we're hardwired also with that ego to survival. So the body's kind of hardwired with, you're trying to survive, you do everything to survive, the flight, flee mechanism, all that stuff. So we're kind of start with that as a heavy programming.
So what was your question again?
It was just about causes in quotes. And I know we kind of, I mean, we certainly talk about no cause and effect.
That's why it's in parentheses.
And that's why it's in parentheses or in quotes, but... quotation marks, but how else could that be described and fit with the no cause and effect
thing? Emergent.
So, not living as an eternal being in your life today.
No, you want to know the answer.
Yeah, I do.
And the minute you want to know the answer, you're living by cause and effect.
Right.
You won't live emergent.
I see.
We do causes. Oh, so not living as an eternal being, I am in cause. And so causes is entirely appropriate in that sentence because that's what I'm doing. I'm causing. Yes, I'm not living emergent. I get it. Thank you. I get it.
Yeah, there's a lot of knots in that.
Yeah. That really makes sense.
Such that you become addicted to your loner self's feelings and won't let go to create and live the eternal self you truly desire but barely know.
So, percent that even though a reader or me or any of us say, oh, this all makes a lot of sense, but embedded in my DNA is this survival mechanism, fight or flight, that I can let effectively block any real changes because in case the survival is at stake here. But.
Time to transcend all that, right?
Yeah, become aware of it, right? So it's not controlling you.
It's not, is that really embedded in our DNA?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that if as Forever Living teaches us
system,
that...
Your very sympathetic nervous system.
Forever Living says that we have... where we come alive in a loner body that was given to us by our parents, and so on and so on, all the way back to there's a lion in the jungle tonight, and so survival has been built into the DNA right from those days, and it's still available and accessible now.
Fear of spiders.
And as Jennifer says, time to transcend that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe the word is transfigure that.
Mm-hmm. Or,
transfigure.
Yeah. Right. And so becoming aware of it, and so that you know it's not overpowering you, that you...
Right, it's always going to be there because we're in a body.
Yeah.
And that's what bodies have. But
always be there, but by living we can enliven other DNA.
We can fire up other
Living as an living as an eternal being. Mm-hmm. Everything emerges.
Mm-hmm.
Is emerging.
Emergent.
Living as an eternal being.
Yeah.
But so we live as an eternal being and we emergently, what was the word you used?
Regenerate.
Enliven
different DNA.
Different DNA. But in this body I will always have a sympathetic nervous system, right? So I'll always have that fight or flight button. It's not that I'm gonna
fight or flight get in. He just added it.
No.
Well, I added it. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
I said it's part of this loner body that my parents gave to me as a gift.
Is that what happened? Yeah, you didn't.
That's the point I'm making.
It wasn't like that.
Good question, though. What is it
called? Wouldn't memory and minding, like, win out over DNA?
Well, the whole premise here is yes. We regenerate our body and DNA to abiding, and it's.
But that's why I'm asked. I don't think that flight comes with the DNA.
That's just a bodily response.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. It's hardwired. Like
so it's in the
emotion.
It's in the DNA to have that whole system.
That system is there, but
yeah. So you're not going to regenerate yourself out of having fight or flight.
No, there's a lot of things that you're not going to regenerate yourself out of.
Yeah.
Whether you access that or not, that's a different issue.
Everybody always used to say you have all the keys on the piano keyboard. You don't have to play those keys.
Yeah. It's always
going to
be handy.
It's just like in your DNA. It's not that you're going to change it as much as you're going to turn some on and some off.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to have that system there in case you need to hit
and
the
brakes
when you're
driving. And some systems that you're born with, you're not going to really change.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a defect in the DNA, you're probably not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I brought it up was back up in here at the top of the end of 113. You want to continue as a personal being, so you're unwilling to relinquish yourself to become the unknown being or undefined eternal self. You want to continue as a personal being. So my point was, most people are not aware because their body self is really running them, not their what we're talking about being emergent, living emergently, so that ego that's built into your fight or flee, save the body mechanism runs most people's lives, and then that's where the struggle happens and the diseases.
Well, ego isn't part of fight or flight.
It is. It's self-preservation.
What is ego?
That's
not
right.
Ego.
Well, there's different parts of what you could consider ego, I think.
So, but in order for us to understand what you're talking about, we need to know how.
Okay, so what do you think?
I don't use the word.
I mean, ego to me is just who you are in a body, whatever. Your ego.
Okay, so how is that tied into fight or flight?
That program is running, whether to survive. And I find that most people are really running that program and living through their emotions and the whole body,
fight or flight is just an adrenaline surge that occurs in the body.
Quick twitch muscles.
The reason why you have it is to survive and keep your body alive. Mm-hmm. So that's my point. It's just we're so busy trying to run this program of keep my body alive that you're doing cause and effect and not allowing emergence. And part of what he says about the struggles is where this thing happens. We don't let go of what I think is the ego that's making us stay in this narrow, confined box. Does that make sense?
Get up and... Roger, you want to address ego for a minute, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't agree with anything you said.
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, well,
then jump in,
Roger. Yeah.
Go.
Ego is your eternal self.
Okay.
but you don't know how to express it.
Everybody wants to make ego a bad thing, and it's not.
Yeah, I wasn't either. Anybody that says get rid of your ego, they might as well just say get rid of your eternal self.
I'm glad you put that pin on that one. I wasn't sure where that was. It's your eternal self. Okay. I thought it might be just the personal self of the body. So, okay.
Good to know. Thank you, Roger. And the fight or flight is part of the primitive mind that really doesn't function under anything other than a stimulant that tells it that something is going on. Mm-hmm. There's a lion in the jungle tonight, and there's a stimulant that goes on, and the body creates adrenaline in order to give it the energy and stamina to be able to escape. Now, do a lot of people live in that constant fight or flight place? Yes, they do. That's what we call stress.
And there ain't no lion in the jungle.
Right. Yeah. But we have lots of lions in the jungle that we perceive in our minds.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The phone rang again. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Who is it this time? Yeah. My creditors trying to get money out of me.
Could be bad.
Yeah. When I had IRS problems, every time the phone rang, it was just like, oh shit, what now? Yeah. So you do that to yourself.
Yeah.
Or I'm late and.
Mm-hmm. Got a question for you, Roger.
There's traffic.
Is there anything that?
Have you finished, Jennifer?
Oh, sorry. Is there anything that would indicate to me or tell me the ego? How do I know the difference between my personal self and my eternal self in terms of ego?
What?
You're discontenting yourself.
He said the ego is your eternal self, so I wanted to know, how could I tell?
How would you tell?
The difference between my personal self and ego as my eternal self. Is there a way to sense that or know that or to differentiate that is what I'm asking.
I'm
just asking. He said very clearly, your ego is your eternal self.
But did he say your ego is not your personal self?
That's what I'd like to know. There's some commentary there that I would like to have. But
like maybe I don't know. It sounded like you were describing ego as like personality.
Going through.
Sort himself part of it. Maybe I learned the word wrong.
Well, there's no right or wrong. Well, it's how are we using it here? Right. And, what are we doing here? How does the word help what we're doing here?
Yeah.
And I've just kind of given up on ego. It's one of those words that's so loaded and packed with baggage that I don't even use it.
Because everybody uses love it differently is another too. One. But I just don't.
We said one time that we could also say selfness.
Yes. Okay, that means something to me.
Because ego has so a negative effect.
That means something to me, yeah.
Now this is about religion of self, as I understand it. So it is about me and about ego. Mm-hmm. That's fine for me.
But me and selfness.
Yeah, you've got to just decide that you're not going to put a negative connotation on ego.
Yeah, and I didn't.
I'm not accusing you. Don't dwell on your use of it was other than the way we use it.
Right, and that's good to know.
No. It's just not a word that I use. Like, the same as love, I don't. Unless I'm going to say, I love those cookies over there. Other than that, I rarely use that word. Because
I often use selfness when I selfness, explain
yeah, I like that. Right. That means, yeah.
This is about self.
That. Yeah, that means something to me.
Well, it's just like when somebody says, oh, well, they have such a big ego. Well, does that mean that they have a big expression of self?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what is so terrible about that, especially if they can back it up? Mm-hmm. I've been accused of having a big ego, and I'm just like,
thank you.
Maybe.
Good. I'm expressing my eternal self.
Yeah.
Pause.
Oops, sorry. No. Yes.
Never.